quite as well when it wasn't plugged in. Imagine that. Okay. So first of all, I thought I would give a brief update about my dad's condition, since people might wonder. As most all of you are aware by now, I'm sure. I'm not sure, Bono. Okay. He had open heart surgery yesterday, to replace a valve, a faulty valve. As many of you know, he had open heart surgery 20 years ago. Surgery took a long time because your aorta and your pulmonary artery are next to each other, but they don't connect. Well, because of scar tissue, my dad's aorta and pulmonary artery had fused together. Why that's problematic is they need to clamp the aorta to be able to work on the heart. And because the doctor had to pry apart the aorta and the pulmonary valve, or a pulmonary artery, had to pry it apart enough to get a clip on there, it was down low, so it was hard to work on the heart. So it made it really tight, a tight space for him to work. So it took quite a while, but seemingly very successful. He is in emergency. He's in the ICU recovery. So my mother's been over there all day. She can go in every 2 hours for 15 minutes, starting at 10:30 in the morning, ending at 8:30 at night. So at 10:30, 12:30, 2:30, 4:30, 6:30, and 8:30, she gets to go in there for 15 minutes. Two family members can go at a time, so I went over twice today, and they make you go out after 15 minutes, which is good. He is really tired. You know, as you all would know from surgery, he's just really tired. He's medicated, so falls asleep relatively quickly. He's had some really funny quotes in his semi-conscious state, but for instance, just one, he looked at my mother. There was a conversation with the nurse, male nurse who played basketball, and apparently they were talking about basketball or something, and he looked at my mother and said, "You knew I coached at Rock Island High School, didn't you?" My mom's like, "No, I had no idea of that, honey." So, but they had a bed that sits up into a chair, and the doctor was very pleased with it. You know, he's got a really strong, his heart was pumping very strongly. He's really a healthy guy for 80. So prognosis is fine. And I guess my mom in particular, and my dad, but he was out after we went in. But I went over there with him yesterday morning, obviously, before the surgery, and he had been given a homework assignment to read the book of Esther and write a report on it. He was given that assignment Monday at lunch right here, and he did that and gave me the report. And then we talked about the book of Esther and filled in some missing holes, and then listened to a sermon from David Miller on the book of Esther. So Dad was, and we prayed, and I read Psalm 63, and he was very much trusting God. Mom was no real, you know, we sat in that room yesterday, and my daughter, my wife, myself, my mom, my mother-in-law, and then Jack came later, and, you know, we played cards, and, you know, we were very, just having a good time being together, not overly concerned, and that ministered to some people that saw us acting that way, because most people sit in a room like that and full of fear and trepidation and don't have anything to trust in. And it was really encouraging that we have God to trust in, so we didn't have to concern ourselves with anything. We just had to trust God. Anything else I missed that's pertinent? Yeah, so we have some AFib problems that they're trying to control. He goes in and out of that. As far as visitors and such, until he's out of ICU recovery, there's this every 2 hour, 15-minute visitation with family members only. So anybody would be welcome to go and minister to my mother, because she sits there all day in that room. She did today. And so you could go sit with her for a while and just chat with her. But you won't be able to see Dad until they move him to another room. Jeffrey. Don't know. Well, he'll be in the hospital until next Tuesday would be best case scenario. And that just depends. It could go longer if, but it seems like, at least for now, I mean, he's eating a meal right now. He got to eat his first meal already, and they seem to be happy with it, where he's going. So next Tuesday, I don't know how long an ICU recovery. So when he goes to a normal room, then we can have visitors. But right now, that really can't happen. But mom can be visited, and I guess the best way to go about that is if you want to go visit her, just text her and say, hey, are you in ICU waiting room today? Unless you want to ask me, you can, because when he gets moved out of there, that will change. Anybody else, anything else about that? What's that? Yeah, if you want to minister to my mother, take her a large Diet Coke from McDonald's. That would minister. She'd be a big fan. Okay. Anything else about that? Okay. Anything else about anything else? We are going to spend probably most of the evening, yep, Tamara, talking about the conference from the conference attendees. Mrs. Jacks, please, Alexia. Some will speak briefly, I'm sure, and some will speak for a while, but I want to bring back some of that. And then next Wednesday, I don't think we'll get to it tonight, but next Wednesday I'm going to do a week, two, three, six, whatever it takes, on some teaching on the Trinity out of the conference. So just to bring some of that back.
I have one of the Wednesday night questions.
Okay.
Can we do those?
You can.
Tonight? So what about ectopic pregnancies? So ectopic pregnancies are pregnancies that are attach and not the right spot.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically the diagnosis is one in a million. If it's not ended, the woman will die. It's a 100 to 1 chance. What is the stance we have? I don't think anybody in our body has ever faced this, so I just wondered.
Well, so if I hear your question correctly, I think there's two things I would say about that. One, as it would pertain to our abortion ministry, it's not going to come up, because no woman going to that Planned Parenthood or Emma Goldman would be having an ectopic pregnancy dealt with. They would go to a hospital. So that's not happening with the ladies that are walking in there. Now, how would we deal with that? I think we would deal that way. We would, any other situation that comes up in our lives, we would listen to the advice of a doctor. We would consider whoever it is we're talking to and your age, your health, I mean, all those kind of things. And if at all possible, we'll let God decide what happens with that pregnancy. It's a very challenging question we haven't had to face yet, but if I ever do have to face that as a pastor, we will just work through that together. And you know, if somebody tells me it's a 100% chance a woman's going to die, well, boy, and it's a baby that one in a million chance it would even survive, or no chance. Well, that becomes a really easy discussion. So I guess I don't, you know, it depends. I'd have to have more information about that specific situation. But I do want to say that's not happening with any of the women we talked to, because I've already had that come up one time at Emma Goldman, and I wasn't prepared. Because my answer, you know, they get that out there, well, that's not what's happening here. They'd be at a hospital. They would not be being treated there for that. Fine question. Anybody else that you would urgently, or not even urgently, you'd like to be able to talk about before we talk about the conference? Okay, then I think what I'm going to do is I'll start on my right and I'll work my way left. Because we have so many people that went, I'd like you to start out by keeping your sharing to, you know, let's say 4 minutes. It can be 30 seconds. It can be 4 minutes. Once we get through everyone, we'll go back and see if you have more you would like to share. And I see Roy and Tammy frantically going to their notebooks. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? I couldn't hear you. Okay, great. So you got to shorten it down some. Well, yeah, you know what? Great. I think what I would have you do, Tammy, I won't even start there with you guys. Pare it down to what you know, what pops off most, and then we'll come. I'm sure we'll get a chance to come back to you. Nobody at this table. We'll start right there with Callie.
So the biggest thing for me in general about the conference was the doctrine of the Trinity becoming more than just a doctrinal fact that I had memorized, but actually a reality of who God is in everything. And that's the God who you read about in the scriptures. That's the God who saves. That's the God you pray to. That's the God, you know, it's not just this. This doctrine was separate from God in my mind. And, I don't know, just the meshing that together, and God became a lot bigger. The other thing, that was really impactful for me was just Pastor Lawson talking about God the Father and how he works in salvation and his plan for salvation and how he has specifically ordained your entire life, you know, how he wants it, and he's worked all that out, and that's just really incredibly humbling for me to consider with
how
everything
he worked
that's
all
happened.
That out through the Trinity.
Yeah, through the Trinity, and yeah, specifically the plan, but then how that all.
So maybe I didn't say this, and I guess maybe I should have as a setup, is the conference was on the doctrine of the Trinity, or on the Trinity. Not even the doctrine of the Trinity. On the Trinity. And so it was 2.5 days of teaching on the Trinity and preaching on the Trinity. And I think there was some preaching and there was some teaching. And so, Callie, what I hear you saying is, for you it was this doctrine this doctrine of the Trinity became much more than just a doctrine.
Sure.
It became a way for you to understand and worship God more.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that was helpful for me was just understanding more of who the Holy Spirit is and what his job is and what that looks like, and specifically what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which I don't completely understand exactly how that works yet, but seeing that and then seeing Christ's example of how he was obedient to his Father's will and how he didn't initiate anything.
Great. I don't want to steal anybody's thunder, so I'm going to try to keep my comments to a minimum, which is not easy for me, Cal. So.
Me too.
Not hard for you, though.
So what I want to share is Friday evening when one of the sessions, I don't really even remember which session, but I just sat there, and all of a sudden I realized that, you know, I was feeling very good, very liking all of this, and what I realized is that I was really liking understanding the roles of the Trinity, and really, and to some degree, the roles of the Trinity were repeated many times, and it was an admiration of some sorts that was growing in me, and I didn't really understand it at the time, and I was thinking about this, well, and just, you know, to review the roles of the Trinity, one of the speakers just talked about God the Father being the potentate, meaning I have arranged, and God the Father who has, you know, arranged and orchestrated all this, and God the Son, the priest, meaning I will accomplish, you know, and just thinking how Jesus accomplished all that needed to happen for God's plan for the saving of his people. And God the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, you know, meaning he's in agreement with everything that is going on and going to play his role in making that happen of what God has arranged to happen. And so just, you know, kind of really liking that. And then James White spoke in the Saturday morning, and I was reviewing all this. I'd started to take some of my notes for sharing in this moment. And he said he wrote a book, I think like 20 years ago, on the Trinity, and I began the book by asking people, when's the last time you said, or maybe he said, you've heard someone say, I love the Trinity? And I realized I had never said that, never thought that, but at that moment realized that that was manifesting itself, I guess, in me. And just so that was kind of a sweet time to realize what was happening and to realize that, yes, I am in agreement that I love the Trinity. And that was, you know, that's never come out of my mouth, never entered my mind, never thought that I didn't, but it's a different, you know, you can say you love God and God is the Trinity, but it's different to say I love the fact that there's three separate persons that are all each God and make up this one God. And so that was,
you know, he,
one of the main things I wanted to share.
Cal, just piggyback on that, that I want to have everyone stop and consider that question. Have you ever said, I love the Trinity? I love Jesus. I love God. I love the church. I love the Bible. I love church history. I mean, lots of I loves concerning God, but I love the Trinity. I love God the Father. I love God the Son. I love God the Holy Spirit. I love the Trinity in toto. It's not how we talk, and I would assert it's not how we think. And what Cal's giving testimony to is he now thinks like that. And it is not strange for you to go out and say, I love the Trinity. Because that's who God is.
So the last thing I want to say is what another thing I admired was listening to James White and realizing the effort that he puts into to try to speak to the to try to deliver his message to the person he's talking to from an understanding of their worldview and trying to be effective at discussing the things of God based on what he knows how that person thinks. And I have a lot of room to grow in that, and it's, I think, a skill and a muscle that can only come from trying to exercise that and thinking that way. But I was very in awe of that and see the almost the necessity of thinking that way as you're, and I'm not talking about being able to stand up in front of a group and teach on the things of God. I'm talking about being able to evangelize and to understand if it's a Muslim or understand if it's a Gen Xer or someone from an impoverished lifestyle or whatever, that they're going to think differently because of where they come from, and they are going to have their mind has been shaped on who God is, and I need to try to understand that so I can best minister.
Yeah. So James White's really, I mean, he's just really smart, you know, and boy, the amount of information he has that he remembers about Roman Catholicism or Islam or the Bible or, I mean, it's just the Reform, it's just so much stuff. But what Cal's giving testimony to is, I would assert for all of us, what we can all do is maybe not know all those things, but we can listen. It's one of the things I try to work with Donnie about. You need to listen to someone to understand their worldview so you can give them a correct worldview. Okay, Brenda.
I enjoyed it very much. I sat back a couple times and thought about all the men that were there and how God has gifted each one of them in very specific and unique ways, from pastors to debaters to professor, and you can just see how God just is using each one of them in such a great way, especially even that weekend or those days. So for me, I think what happened, you know, I've grown up understanding there was a Trinity all my life, but the clarity that came from this time was really a big deal. And it was the distinction of three each persons, what their roles was. And you've talked about that plenty of times. So everything wasn't brand new, but there was so much clarity given in each one, maybe from the repetition also, but how it impacted my life since then has been in how I read my Bible. I don't remember who it was who went over the pronouns. Bruce Ware, the professor, went through the pronouns and picked out, helped us understand when it was talking about the Father, when it was talking about the Son. And so as I read my Bible now, I am so much more in tuned to who is this speaking of and what role does he play in it.
So while she's looking at the next thing, go ahead.
So then as I read my Bible, just realizing the Trinity is everywhere. And before I remember thinking, well, where is this? Where do I see the Trinity? I mean, we did that in systematic theology, and I was trying to figure out, okay, where was this? But now I just see it everywhere.
So I think that's really a big deal that Brenda's giving testimony to. Reading her Bible now, she the Trinity, and this is really true. You go to any New Testament passages, you read it for very long at all, you are going to see the Trinity, especially in Paul's writings. It's just everywhere. And the he's and the him's in the same sentence, sometimes talking about the Father, sometimes talking about the Son, and understanding the distinction as you're reading that and be able to put that together, and it just really starts to grow your understanding of the triune God.
Another one was my prayer life has changed greatly. I didn't get to hear all of the one Bruce Ware when he was talking about the praying and praying to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But since I'll go back and study it again, but it emboldened me to go to God with more confidence in how I pray. I can't get you any specific, but it's also, I find myself wanting to pray in the morning instead of being fearful, am I doing this right yet? And then the other thing is being so much more deliberate about making sure I'm reading the Word, because that is how I'm going to be empowered with the Holy Spirit.
Great. How you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Battery change? Yeah, the filling of the Holy Spirit, not some woo-woo thing. Read your Bible. Learn who God is. That's how you'll be filled with the Spirit, knowing Christ. Natasha, you got something for me? What did we find out? Give the microphone to Natasha. I'll talk you through it. You'll be just fine. What did we find out about, do you remember what was called the New Apostolic Revolution? Revolution, no.
Reformation.
New Apostolic Reformation, the NAR. Do you remember what that was? What was that? Was it Christianity? Was it kind of crazy?
Do you the
Say it in the microphone. What was it? You don't remember it? Remember? It's in South America. It's in Africa. You know, you hear about the church is growing everywhere. South America and in Africa. It's not the church that's growing. It's this new apostolic reformation of crazy charismania focused on the Holy Spirit with abhorrent and heretical worship that happens. Natasha, give me something. Give me anything.
What did you say about you?
How about your roommate? Who was your roommate?
What's her name?
In the microphone.
Bridget.
And did you ever met Bridget before? So you and your sister stayed in a room with a woman you'd never met before, right? Did you enjoy your time? What did you enjoy about that? What did you enjoy about Miss Bridget? One thing.
She's funny.
She was fun. Okay. All right, Alexia, your turn. What do you got for us? One thing you got from the conference. You knew this time was coming.
how Christ died on the cross for the sin of the world.
Christ died on the cross what?
For sinners.
For sinners. Christ died on the cross for the sinners. Whose plan was that?
God the Father.
God the Father. And who carried it out? Christ, or God the
Spirit.
God the Son, by the power of the Spirit. Okay, Alexia, let's go over here to Gracie.
Two things. The first one was from Josh Bice, and it was, people were afraid to go out where Jesus was because people who wanted to kill Jesus wanted to kill his followers. And then, where is it? The second one was from H.B. Charles, and he said, no matter how bad the time is, we should not be ashamed of the gospel.
Okay, great. And Josh Bice talked about the apostles they doubted. They doubted because they had fear that they were going to go out into this hostile environment and be treated the way Christ was. And then H.B. Charles said, no matter how tough the times are, we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. Okay, Mrs. Sandercock.
The first session with Josh Bice, he said, when he was talking about Matthew, he said, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And he said that literally that meant no one less than I am with you. And I just thought that was pretty neat. Minor,
no one less than I, God the Son, am with you.
So it wasn't just you're not alone. It was, no one less than myself will be with you. Sort of what they talked about already with H.B. Charles Jr., he said, to be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with the Word. And the Holy Spirit will only fight with his own weapon, so you must be filled with the Word of God. So you need to study and memorize.
Good. So to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how is the Holy Spirit going to do battle? What weapon?
It's the Word of God.
The Word of God. And that's the Holy Spirit isn't going to do battle with a different weapon. So if we're going to be filled with the Spirit and we're going to be ready for battle, we have to be filled with the Word of God. So that the Spirit will give us what to say. See, you can't become a Christian and not read your Bible and say, okay, I'm going to go out now and evangelize and be able to have the right things to say to the person that comes up to me. Magically, God's just going to give me that. He's going to bring to remembrance what you've learned from the Word. So if you're having a hard time talking to people, it's because you don't know the Word enough. So get out there and work that muscle.
He said, corporate singing is the language of the church. And that rings very true to me. Deep conviction should result in high praise. And he finished by saying, you shouldn't let other people make you act like you don't know Jesus. That was powerful.
Which doesn't seem like a Trinitarian topic, but it is. You ought not let other people make you act like you don't know Jesus.
Then Anthony Mathenia said, the will of the Father is the rule of Jesus' life. And then he went on to say that Jesus did nothing by permission, only obedience.
Okay, so I need to spend time on that. Tell me, what's it mean? He did nothing by permission, but only by obedience.
He never tried to exert his own will. He never needed to ask permission because he never tried to exert his own will.
Great. So what do our children do?
Ask for permission.
All day long. Can I do this? Can I do that? Can I do this? And we say yes or no. Jesus did not act out of permission. He acted out of obedience. His mission had been given to him. So in my analogy, Gracie pretty much knows what Roy and Tammy want from her. She could live her whole day, most of her whole day, not asking for permission to do anything. But not because Gracie's bad or any different, but a kid's going to ask permission all day. Jesus didn't live that way. So us as children of God, to live like Christ is to do everything out of obedience. Not out of permission. You see the difference? Can I watch this movie? Can I go do this? Can I celebrate Christmas? Can I take this medication? Can I drink this alcohol? Can I? Permission. Obedience. Just do what the Word tells us. That's how Christ lived. He just did what the Father's will was. The Son lived out the Father's will. He didn't ask permission.
Steve Lawson talked about the Trinity and salvation.
And by the way, I'm sorry, I just need to say this. And Anthony Mathenia added to that, he did that because he loved his Father. He did everything out of obedience, not permission, because he loved the Father. If we love God, we won't need to ask permission. We will just be obedient. That'll be Christ-like.
Your time doesn't count against my 4 minutes, does
it? It doesn't, no. No, it doesn't.
Okay, so Steve Lawson in the Trinity of Salvation just expounded all of, or exegeted or whatever, all of Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. And it was just really neat the way that he went through that. One of the things that stood out for me was when he talked about how just the language that Paul used, how Paul just presupposed that the believers in Ephesus knew exactly what he was talking about. He presupposed that they all knew the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity, and were very, they were well-versed in that.
Let me say that exactly how she did, maybe with more words. That the reason you don't see the word Trinity, or the reason you don't see that doctrine explained, is because in the early church, it was presupposed. They understood the triune God. So when he wrote Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, talking about the Trinity all throughout that, with he's and his and the Father and the Son, he didn't have to tie all that together and say, here's your picture of the Trinity. They already understood the Trinity. And if you read your New Testament as if you already knew the Trinity was a truth, then it's all over the place. As Brenda was giving testimony to. It's everywhere. If you read it as if it's the truth, and that was who his audience was, they didn't have to be explained the Trinity. They knew it. The early church knew this.
He went on to say that in love, the Father predestined us, and then went on to talk about what that means exactly, and that Kelly alluded to this a little bit. But he said, you know, destination is determined before the journey begins. And that...
Because predestined, what's that word in Greek? Something orizo, but horizon. What he was speaking to, what Tammy's talking about is, God the Father has predestined everything. Your future and my future as his children is predestined. He looked out on the horizon and it's already done. So he said, Lawson said something about God's predestination is not changeable. It's fixed. God the Father predestined us. Paorizo? I can't remember the first part of it. Proorizo? It's the horizon, it's already out there. It's already been fixed. And you can't change it, and you're going to walk into it. Tammy?
He went on to talk about redemption and what redemption means. And he explained it as loosening something in bondage in order to set it free. So I know that sounds like it's almost repetitive, but it's a different meaning. It's loosed from bondage so that it can be set free. It's not just a loosening.
Yep, so it's a liberation procured by the payment of a ransom. In other words, redemption presupposes or assumes bondage.
So
God the Father had a plan to liberate you from your bondage in God the Son, as carried out by God the Spirit and then applied to your life by God the Spirit. But this liberation from bondage was the plan of the Father lived out through the Son, applied by the Holy Spirit.
Right, so we were freed from sin and Satan so we could be a slave of Christ. And he told, I'm not going to tell it now, but he told the story of the slave woman, and that was very, it was very impactful, and it was a neat analogy of our redemption and being set free to serve a new master, and that we would gratefully serve that master. We talked about how he redeemed us, and he just said the line through his blood, and then he said a staggering cost.
Say that again. Through your tears.
He just said that, you know, the redemption is through his blood, and then he just said a staggering cost.
A staggering cost is what she's trying to spit out.
Yeah, sorry.
The redemption was accomplished through the Son's blood, by the will of the Father.
And then I think one of the only other, I don't think I only have two more things. He said, I thought this was very interesting. He talked about that it was according to the riches of his grace, not out of his riches, but according to his riches.
Okay, let me help with that distinction really quickly. Giving out of, God gave out according to his riches, not out of his riches. And he gave the analogy of two billionaires. And one gives $100 and one gives $6 million. One gives out of his riches, the other one gives according to his riches. The guy who gives $5 million gives according to his riches, in proper relationship to his wealth. The guy who gives $100 gives out of his riches. That was the analogy he used. So God gives according to his riches. So all the things we've been blessed with in the heavenly places, according to God's riches, according to, not out of. We got the billionaire of all billionaires giving us according to that wealth. Not just giving a little bit out of what he has.
The last thing was,
that's who God the Father is. I mean it this time.
He talked about Christ dwelling in our hearts. And he really talked about forcefully that it's so Christ will be at home in our hearts. So he said he is sorting through everything in your life to get everything in its rightful place.
So I think we've talked about this before. It's not the first time I've heard it, and maybe it's because I heard a sermon from Steve Lawson some other time. But when we are to make our hearts, our souls, our bodies, our spirits, a dwelling place for Christ, where he feels at home, where he's comfortable there. Not someplace he's uncomfortable. By the power of God the Holy Spirit, striving to worship and love God the Father in Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus should be comfortable in us. a dwelling place that's comfortable for him. So when I'm harsh with my wife, or I'm not leading my children, Christ is not very comfortable in that environment. A dwelling place that's comfortable for him.
The last thing is just, you know, I want to reiterate this because, you know, we can hear it from pastor, and it's true, but how blessed we truly are in this body. Because even going down to G3, and there are so many like-minded people, the fellowship is so incredibly sweet, but most people just don't have what we have. They long to have what we have, and it's a really good reminder for me, because when Brenda Reed and I were talking, and she desires the fellowship that we have. And it really struck me how I have gone from a place of not wanting that fellowship to actually taking it for granted. And I listen to people down there talk about how they want to do life with other believers, and they long for that and don't have that. And sometimes it feels to me like we have it too much, but we don't. And I take it for granted.
Yeah, we ought not presume on God for his grace in our lives in this local assembly. For the teaching we get, for the fellowship we have, for the holiness that we aspire to by the grace of God, we ought not presume on that. I don't take that for granted. Roy.
So on Wednesday night, Tammy and I and Grace got to Douglasville a night earlier than anybody. So we went to Praise Mill and listened, sat in on a session by James White and on Roman Catholicism and their lack of belief in sola scriptura. But one of the things he said that really hit home for me and really, you know, really hit home is, and I think I got this close to being verbatim, but he said, it is possible that we misinterpret the whole of Scripture because we don't know some of the parts of Scripture. You know, we've all sat under wonderful teaching, different parts of Scripture that we know lots about. But we need to know the whole of Scripture to interpret it correctly. And I praise God that we're in a place that we're learning the entirety of the Word of God. So that was good for me to remember and to make my life look different because of that. So, you know, I thought it was a good idea to try to take notes with my right arm in a sling, but now that I can't read a lot of them, but
yeah, it didn't work out so well.
Yeah, so here's, I'm not sure who this was, but I wrote this down that Christ reflected the Father's glory perfectly. And we must reflect the Father's glory, but we do it imperfectly. But it's our pattern; it's what we do, but with utter dependence on the Spirit of God. Let's see what I'll say. You know, somebody said that what Christ did affirmed who he was, and Jesus was the intersection between earth and heaven. I thought that was good. You know, and the Trinity is the foundation of the Christian faith, and at some point one of the preachers or teachers said, if you don't believe in the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity, then you're not a Christian.
Look, there's no question about it. You know, and this is something we know, I guess, but we need to go live out. If somebody doesn't believe in the Trinity, they are not a Christian. If they do not believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, if they don't believe that all three of those persons are God and there is one God, if they don't believe those things, they're not a Christian. I didn't say understand them to their fullest depth, because we can't. I'm saying believe in one God in three distinct persons. Equal in nature, equal in nature, but different in function. If they don't believe that, they're not Christians. If you don't believe that, you're not a Christian.
So there's a couple other one-liners, you know, that this was really good. And this is David Miller's quote. He said, you don't want your election to be on the basis of what God foresaw.
Do you think foreknowledge means God looked down the corridors of time and he chose you by what he saw? Yeah, it is. It's me. Do you know what he saw? He saw you in Adam. He saw you full of sin. Completely dead in Adam. You don't want him selecting you based on what he saw. It's not a bad David Miller. Probably
really
too fast because I can't talk slow. But Lord willing, I'll get to sit under him and he can teach me to slow down. Go ahead.
That would be good.
Have a potentate, a priest, and a paraclete. The potentate, the king, the sovereign Lord who decreed all things. And we have a priest who came and lived as a man that he might be our priest. And then we have a paraclete, God the Holy Spirit, who comes alongside of us and walks us down this path that the potentate put forward, that the priest made available. Roy.
That was really good. Have you been working on that?
I'm sorry? No. No. No, those were not his hand motions. It's like this. You don't want God to choose you based on what he saw. Yeah, he did. When he wanted to make a point, he moved his wheelchair forward like 2 feet. Roy. By the way, I have a great deal of respect and love, and I was telling, I don't know, the group, as I sit here today, knowing what I know, if I had to sit under somebody's preaching every Sunday, it would be his. He really, really ministers to me. So I'm not mocking him. I'm trying to talk like him.
And, you know, Anthony Mathenius said at one point, he said, there are no loopholes in the command to be Christ-like. That was very convicting for me.
Yeah, we tend to look for loopholes, right? We are commanded to be Christ-like.
So before anybody else says, I might as well bring this one. This was H.B. Charles, Jr.
Well, don't take everybody's thing now. We got more people to share.
The Bible is like Big Mama's house, where you eat what she serves or you don't eat at all. Can't pick and choose.
H.B. Charles, now he makes me look calm. I can't do him, I don't think. Nah, I don't think I can. It'll just sound like a different version of David Miller, because that's all that's in my head right now. The Bible's like Big Mama's house. You eat what's there or you don't eat at all. You can't take some of it. Donnie. Go for it, Donnie. Give me Big Mama's house. You ain't got that in you. Go ahead.
Go for it.
Let's hear it. You got to do your glasses like this.
You see, you can't pick and choose the scripture. You can't pick and choose what you like. See, when you go to Big Mama's house, you got to eat everything or nothing at all. And that's like the Bible. You have to accept it all or you don't want it all.
Better than mine, that's for sure. Okay, what do you have?
You sure don't want to upset Big Mama. I want to start off. Sermon by David Miller. First of all, it's my first time going to the G3. Praise God for that, that he and his sovereign goodness allowed me to be a part of that. What a wonderful privilege I got to be around God's people, to be edified, sanctified, challenged, and convicted of the deeper knowledge of who God is in the Trinity. David Miller preached on 1 Peter 1:1. He talked about the everlasting covenant of the Trinity. He talked about specific roles of the triune Godhead, that God the Father, he selects, God the Son, he saves, and God the Spirit, Holy Spirit sanctifies, and how he preached the whole sermon. I praise God for the grace and knowledge that God has graced him, where he preached the whole sermon with just this text. And his pastor was doing a nice impression of him, just understanding the seriousness and the mindfulness of the triune God that has been revealed to this man, and how he can share that with us was such a blessing. And Tim Chalice, he preached on the doctrine of the Trinity. And he posed a question that we would sometime ask: how did the Trinity act before the foundation of the world, before creation? And he said, each member of the Trinity acted and behaved consistently with the same way they've always acted. The Father and
so what Donnie said there, and he's turning pages again. So how did God, how did the triune God interact before creation? And the same way they do after creation, because God's the same forever. So you have God the Father, who has the plans, gives the plans, makes the plans, speaks the plans. God the Son, who acquiesces to that plan and carries it out. And God the Holy Spirit, who enables that or empowers that plan. And we don't know what that looked like. We just know that's how they interacted. Always been that way. Donnie?
And lastly, Steve Lawson preached on the Trinity and salvation. He just painted a big picture of it was the Father who saved. It was the Son who saved. The Holy Spirit who saved. The Father saved sinners. The Son saved sinners. The Holy Spirit saved sinners. And he quoted a quote from J.I. Packer, "No Trinity, no gospel." How we ought to be preaching a Trinitarian gospel.
Well, look, there is no salvation, there is no gospel without a Trinity. See, you can have an awfully Christocentric gospel, a gospel centered on Christ, but Christ alone is not the gospel. Christ had to reconcile us to the Father. Christ needed the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do miracles. Christ sent us the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit is who quickens us and regenerates our hearts. Salvation is a Trinity experience. It's a triune, all the members of the Godhead. You don't have a gospel with just Jesus.
And then finally, the most humbling thing that really impacted me, Steve Lawson preached on the triune Godhead in salvation, as you spoke to Pastor earlier about him marking you out before the horizon, and understanding me personally, all I did was bring to the cross was my sin, and that God would choose me out of so many people in the world, nothing good about me, nothing lovable. God didn't look down the corridors of time and say, oh, he's someone special. It's only by his grace, according to his goodwill, because he wanted to, and understanding more of the sovereignty of God, it's mind-numbing.
What did we bring to our salvation?
It's mind-numbing.
What did we bring to our salvation? Nothing but our sin. It's all we bring to our salvation is our sin. Alexia, in the microphone. Emily.
So.
Put the microphone up by your mouth.
So it's a lot of the things that I have, I've written out and highlighted and highlighted. I written out when I went home and was organized, and I don't want to repeat and waste time.
I would like you to just tell us what impacted you the most that's on your piece of paper, even if it's a repeat.
Okay, so.
But you got to hold the microphone right there. Right there. Not there. Don't touch. Right there.
Okay. So going thinking that I know something about the Trinity, but actually not knowing, scratching the surface of how big the Trinity actually is. So it happened a couple different times of this overwhelming, crushing feeling that would, you know, come over me of the magnitude of the Trinity. And then with Steve Lawson, you know, the fact that God marked me out, and we talked about, you know, marked out my horizon. He knows my journey. He knew my journey long before he created me. And then understanding way before creation that God already marked me out just crushed my pride. It humbled me. The thankfulness just was something I hadn't experienced before within an understanding. I say understanding the Trinity because I, you know, you can't, it's kind of like David Miller said, like, I don't know how he said it, but I don't know all that I know about the Trinity, you know, because I sat there like, am I wrong for not understanding it completely? But I understand it, but I don't know everything about it. So just that humbled me, and my thankfulness was more than I expected to get out of that conference. That was said. I don't know why I didn't think of this. When I thought about...
Closer, please.
The Trinity, I didn't put the Trinity before creation. I was just always, it was God. So that was kind of a new thing for me that I didn't put the Trinity for some reason. I just put that after.
Great, and it's really important we understand that God is eternal. God is infinite. Mm-hmm. God is the Alpha and the Omega, and that's not just God the Father. That is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are infinite and eternal, and they are the great I Am.
And I said this differently than Tammy. Tammy probably has, because I'm the worst note taker. I would get half the sentence, and I'd miss the last part of the sentence, and then I'm looking at my husband's paper to get the full sentence. So what I put for Steve Lawson, which is a little bit different than Tammy, but same, it's not that only that Christ dwells in my life, but rather that he sorts out everything within my life. So that was impactful for me also during the conference. And, yeah.
Okay.
It was a wonderful time.
Anything else? Miss Kirsten.
So I think two big takeaways. First, in the doctrine and understanding. So you've taught us so well. And so I didn't hear very much that I've never heard before. I think it was just fleshed out. And it made me understand all of the people in my life that I talk to about who God is. I clearly understand now how our God is different from their little g God. And so, and I can speak to that so much differently. And so God got much bigger for me in that respect. And then, understanding he's not like us at all, much more than I ever thought before. And then he's not like any other God or any other thing either at all. And then also from the how we relate to him perspective was very big for me. Understanding the roles, understanding the equality, but the roles, and how I know this is going to be some repeat because I didn't hear, but how knowing that God, the Trinity loved each other way back, well, there was never a beginning, have always loved each other, and how the submission in that relationship is love. And then how, and Jesus submitted joyfully to the Father.
Because?
Because he loved him.
Because he loved him. Because he loves him. Back to what we were talking about earlier, the quote about Christ didn't do anything by permission, he did everything out of obedience because he loved the Father. How do you know you love him? If you obey his commands. Not if you ask permission and get to do the next thing. It's if you obey his commands. They're there. They're given to you. That's what love is. That's the love that the Father has for the Son. And the Son for the Father.
Yep. And then one of them talked about how nothing that we do for the glory of God is done in our own strength. And he said, I'm a paraplegic, so it must have been David Miller who said that, I guess. Now that I think about it.
Maybe.
Probably didn't strike me at the time.
No, I think somebody else said it, actually. Else said it because I remember thinking, that's not very nice to say.
Okay. And so understanding that my confession on Sunday night was understanding that I have not obeyed anybody out of love ever. It's really been about not getting in trouble. And I mean, even my dad, who is a wonderful father, as you know, as much as an unsaved man can be, but even him, I didn't obey from love. And so that was gigantic for me to see that and to, consider how I haven't obeyed you and the elders out of love. I've done it to fit in or to not get in trouble or because it seemed reasonable to me what you're saying I needed to do. And I think almost every speaker said something that made me understand how blessed we all are to have your leadership and Elder Nick. And there are so many things, like from the music and how you're not afraid to proclaim the truth and how you don't let us float, somebody said, and that you've been very diligent to remove all the distractions or the things that would hinder appropriate worship. And somebody said in the van or something, or maybe Sunday night, I can't remember, about how they enjoyed the music so much because it was, you know, with so many people singing. But and it was probably just where we were sitting. All I could hear was the band. And I found myself missing
Elder Nick's and Asher's voices and singing so much. And I didn't understand that verse about singing hymns to one another until that moment when I just really missed our fellowship and the singing that we do and how I can hear each person or different, a lot of people. And then how you don't try to be cool when you're preaching.
What?
You're wow. Just yeah. Yeah, I
what's
just
that?
Got I
got it comes naturally. Thank you, Kelly.
but that you so one of them said that when you're preaching God's word that you should not be any part of the equation, that it should be God's word and that's all we're hearing, and we get that. And as I think about every place that I've ever gone to church before, and there have been many different kinds of places that I've gone to, that's not been the truth. It's been, well, you know where I've been and what I've seen. And so I appreciate that so much. And I appreciate this conference wasn't like any other that I've been to, in the sense of, like, I used to go to not conferences necessarily, but retreats and things like that a lot, and where they do a lot of silly things to get your attention or to keep your attention or to make you have more fun. And I just appreciate that this was so focused on God's word and who God is that was fabulous.
Great. Do you have anything else you want to share for sure that you, I don't want to cut you off, but you didn't hear the 4-minute time limit when you came, so.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So you're not out of order. I just want to, is there anything else you want to make sure you say?
Well, and so also as far as relating to the Holy Spirit, that he talked about how there are times that it's appropriate to pray to Jesus and to pray to the Spirit, although not generally. It's generally directed to the Father.
We're going to get into some of that next week. Praying to the Father through the Son and the power of the Holy Spirit is the way to pray. And praying to Jesus, you see in Scripture, actually the Holy Spirit we don't see prayed to. But
what he said was, and this was, so he talked about quenching and grieving the Spirit.
Talked about that. We can certainly grieve the Spirit.
And he talked about, one of them said that if you find that you've grieved the Spirit, it's okay to say that you're sorry to him.
The point of that is he is a person. The Holy Spirit's not some force. He is a person. And if you grieve him, you can seek his forgiveness.
And then that's all.
Okay, Alexia, Jack, and then, yeah, Jack, what do you got for us?
What I got out of the conference was from James White. He was talking about the Quran and why Islam hates the Trinity so much is because they think it's God the Father, God the Son, and Mary. And so they don't like that. It's Mary in there and not the Spirit. And so they hate it.
Great. So Islam, one of the reasons in the Quran, you can't say the word three, speaking of God. And the reason is they believe because, I could go into a long story as to why, but when Muhammad was traveling around, when he would go into a Catholic church, what would he see? He'd see a cross maybe representing the Son. He'd see things associated with God the Father, different rituals and things, and he'd see statues of Mary. So in the Quran, Islam believes that we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and Mary. And that means that God had to be like a man, have sexual relations with Mary to have a child. And they believe that disparages Allah, God. So that was an interesting thing to understand about Islam. That's why you can't say the three, the word number three, they don't say it. Because they hate the Trinity, because they think that's what we think the Trinity is. Okay? Ryan and Kevin, you've got 2 minutes each, not 4 minutes. So go over here to Ryan. Mr. Peterson and then Mr. Yant, and you guys have 2 minutes, not four.
That means I'm going to start talking really, really fast.
Don't be David Miller. Go.
Okay. So I kind of a counterpoint to what Cal said. I do see how knowing someone's worldview is going to help us answer the questions. But when I came to my first men's Bible study, Corey asked if it would be beneficial for us to study the Quran so that we could know that. But what I found in sitting through James White's thing is that if I just ask the right questions to understand their worldview, since I know my worldview, I'm going to be able to answer it anyway. So maybe a little benefit in studying the Quran, but more in just asking the right questions and being able to answer with our worldview.
Yep.
The other thing, I would believe someone skilled, much more skilled and knowledgeable than me, could probably, from all these notes, from all the sermons, write another sermon on the Trinity and the doctrine of total depravity. And maybe I'm more sensitive to that right now, being a new creation, and I see my total depravity every day. But Stephen Lawson, I was going to use the David Miller quote of "You don't want God the Father to base his your salvation on what you saw." But Stephen Lawson had an interesting one: "All who go to hell go by free will, and all who go to heaven go by his sovereign will." So that just shows that if we were left to make our own choices, none of us would have chosen to go to heaven. It's only by what God the Father did. H.B. Charles Jr.'s quote with the Holy Spirit, and for me in total depravity, was that the human spirit fails when the Holy Spirit does not fill. So if we're not constantly washing ourselves in the Word and doing all that, then our human spirit will fail, and you'll see that, and I've seen that in my own sin. And
great. If the Holy Spirit, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, the human spirit will fail. The human spirit fails where the Holy Spirit doesn't fill.
And then lastly, regarding our total depravity and our need for Christ, God the Son, Christ had to be, this was Stephen Lawson again, Christ had to be fully God to represent God to man, and he had to be fully man to represent man to God. So without Christ, we have no interceding between us and God, and we have no one to tell God that our sins have been paid for and all that.
Yeah, maybe we'll spend more time on that, but hear what he said. In order to represent man to God, he had to be fully man. In order to represent God to man, he had to be fully God. Kev.
Well, I will sort of say more about what I said Sunday night, which I was most blessed at the G3 conference through how our body ministers to other people. And I will also say I was ministered to greatly by other people. And so I think one of the biggest impacts in my life is to see that we affect the lives of people outside of this body. Last night I was sitting at home. I looked at my Facebook account, and I had a friend request from Donald Henry. I accepted it, and 10 seconds later, my telephone rang, and it was Donald Henry. And he said, "I want to tell you," he said, "just how much I was blessed by my time with you and with all the people from Grace Fellowship Church." He said, I told my wife, I believe we could move to Davenport. We could sit under the teaching at Grace Fellowship Church. He said, I don't know that I would agree with absolutely everything Pastor Mike preaches, but he said, I know I could sit there and I could be ministered to him, and I could sit in that group. He said, the love that exudes from your people is something like I've never seen in any church anywhere, and it's evident that you love one another. And it's evident that you are living out the way a church ought to be lived out. And so I could expound on that, but I don't know that there's anything else that needs to be said.
So Don's a guy who lives in Louisiana and who's been around our church family now for 3 years or two?
Last year at G3.
Last year was
at Shepherd's Conference.
Shepherd's Conference. But he was with us last year at G3, he and his wife. sat in the lobby with us in the evening as we would share. They did it again this year, and there's his testimony. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be thankful. Thank God for that. We all ought to thank God for that tonight in our prayer time, tomorrow in our prayer time, for his grace in our lives in this local assembly that we're part of. Okay, we are going to sing. Anybody else have anything they have? Did I miss anybody?